Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. I'm your host, Harry Baya. Wombats and Music is my chance to bring to you songs and other things that I like a lot. We're coming to you from WEHC 90.7, your college and community station in Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Tonight's show will have the usual variety of oddball things, although I don't have any real way-out things. I've got a couple of little strange ones. However, I want to start off with a dedication. I'm going to a wedding this weekend in New York. Actually, the wedding's before the show. This show will air coming Monday night. I'm normally on from 7 to 8. And a good friend of mine, Daniel Updike, who I've known since he was 7, is getting married, and I dedicate this song to him. I looked up on the web to see if I could find him and found it says Daniel Updike and Kara Cox are going to Hawaii for their honeymoon, and I can contribute money on the web if I want, which I may do if I don't just hand them some money. Anyway, this next song is dedicated to Kara Cox and Daniel Updike. I hope that's her name, because the web could be misleading, as we all know. And it's called Truly Madly Deeply, and it's by Savage Garden, an Australian group. This was their biggest hit. The name Savage Garden, they took from the Vampire Chronicles. This was their first number one. And it set a record of being a number one song for 123 weeks. So I hope you enjoy Savage Garden singing Truly, Madly, Deeply. And I hope this is the way Daniel and Kara feel about each other.
I'll love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do.
That was Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden. Last week I played a little bit of that, and I end my show after they had said, I want to stand with you on a mountain, I want to swim with you in the sea, and I said, I do want to stand with you on a mountain, and I do want to swim with you in the sea. And I think some of my listeners, I know that at least one, thought I was talking directly to them. Well, maybe I was. You never know. That's what makes it fun. I don't think I have that many listeners, but if you want to know, ask me and I'll let you know. Now, how different can two songs be? That was Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden, and a love song and a sweet, beautiful thing. Now we're going to go to a rather different song, a song about a man and his mule. This is Frankie Lane singing Cool Water from 1955. The original hit was in 1948 by Vaughn Monroe and Sons of the Pioneers, but I like this one better. And one reason I'm playing this song is I went to see the musical Chaps at the Barter Theater. It's ended its run now. It may come back someday. If you get a chance, see it. There was some wonderful singing in there and some wonderful harmony. I really didn't realize how good it was until the second half. I began to sort of listen and notice what was going on. Almost everyone on the set was singing, and there was just great stuff. And they sang this song, Cool Water, and did a good job with it. It's a classic song. And a man and his mule are out in the desert, and they do need water. And they're going to maybe find it. Right now, all they're finding is mirages. So this is Frankie Lane singing Cool Water.
All day I faced the barren waste without the taste of water, cool water,
water.
Old Dan and I with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water. Cool
water,
clean
water,
water,
water.
Keep moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. Spreads the burning sand with
water.
Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free, waiting there? I'm a fool, each star's a pool of water, cool water,
water.
But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water,
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 water.
Water,
water. Keep moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. Spread the burning sand with
water.
Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free, waiting there for me?
Cool Water by Frankie Lane from 1955. Now we're going to switch another big jump. We're going to Paris. This is I Love Paris by Doris Day. I couldn't find the exact time she recorded. It was in the 50s. This was a song by Cole Porter that a lot of people sang. Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, But I like this one best, and one of the notes I found said Cole Porter, the author, liked it best too. So, well, I'm in good company. Doris Day became a popular singer when she was very young. She sang with a lot of big bands. She had her first big hit at age 23 when she sang Sentimental Journey. And she was in 39 movies. Her original name was Doris Mary Ann Kappelhoff. How's that for a mouthful? But one of the people she sang with wanted it shorter for the marquee, so they shortened it to Doris Day, and this is how it worked out. She'd been a dancer when she was young, and she hurt her leg and couldn't be a really good dancer, so she became a singer, and how great benefit. We all benefited from that. She was the top-ranking female star in the movies of all time as of 2009, so that's quite a tribute. So this is I Love Paris. I was in Paris last summer, and I'm not a big city fan, but I did love Paris. But I was only there for a few days and had a great time wandering around and going to some nice restaurants. And just people watching in Paris is a trip. Not just the Parisians either. People from all over the world. What an international community that I was in. And so this is I Love Paris by Doris Day, and it's from the 50s. That was Doris Day singing I Love Paris. For those of you who like to listen to a radio show which has a theme or some consistency, sorry. I'm looking through my playlist tonight, and I don't see much in common between anything on here. The next two songs are a little bit about broken hearts, maybe, but that's about as close as you can get, because they're certainly not from the same tradition or anything. So we just had I Love Paris, And now we're going to a country song, Digging Up Bones, by Randy Travis from 1986. Randy Travis was a pivotal figure in country music. He sort of brought in non-traditional country music. He broke the rules and changed things. He was forced to take guitar lessons when he was young. He didn't respond well. He had a rough childhood. Drugs, alcohol, put in jail. He was kind of adopted by an older woman, not much older, probably 10, 15 years, I haven't checked, Elizabeth Lib Hatcher. And they ended up staying together for life. They got married and are truly dedicated to each other. She became his manager, and they really went through some rough times, but he got on the right track, and he's had, 16 number one country hits, so quite a few. This is one of them, Digging Up Bones. So I'm going to put it on now, and I'll mention to you that as his career progressed, Randy was a born-again Christian, and he left more traditional music and began to sing mostly gospel, which I guess is what he does now. I haven't heard a lot about him. I particularly like this song, Digging Up Bones, and I particularly like the line about throwing a ring across the room. It's a failed marriage, and he's not happy with it. So listen to Digging Up Bones.
Last night I dug your picture out from our old dresser drawer. I set it on the table and I talked to it till four. I read some old love letters right up till the break of dawn. Yeah, I've been sitting alone digging up bones. Then I went through the jewelry and I found our wedding rings. I put mine on finger and I gave yours a flame. Across this lonely bedroom of our recent broken home, yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. And I went through the closet and I found some things in there, like that pretty negligee that I bought you to wear. And I recall how good you looked each time you had it on. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones.
Digging Up Bones with Randy Travis from 1986. And as I mentioned, the next song is also a broken heart song. But before we get to that, let me tell you, I am Harry Baya, and you're listening to Wombats and Music. It's Monday nights from 7 to 8 on WEHC 90.7, also streaming on the web. If you'd like to pick up this song on the web when you're away, you can go to ehc.edu, that's Emory and Henry College website, and click on WEHC-FM, and you'll see a button to allow you to listen to the streaming show Monday nights 7 to 8 and Thursdays 3 to 4, also on Saturdays sometimes. If you're also interested, I actually put some of these shows up on the web. I can send you a link. You can contact me at HBAYA, that's Harry Baya, HB as in boy, AYA, at ehc.edu, Emory Henry College, ehc.edu. Be glad to hear from anyone who's listening to this show. Good comments, criticisms, desires, whatever. The next song is also a country song. Well, oddly enough, it's by, it's not, I guess. It's by the Everly Brothers, and the notes said they are the most successful U.S. rock and roll duo in history. I don't think of them as rock and roll, but I guess they are. And this is Don and Phil Everly, who are my contemporaries, and they had a number of great hits. They sang mostly in parallel thirds, it says on here. And they had a very strong influence on the Beatles, the Beach Boys, and Simon and Garfunkel, and probably many other people. And they were from a professional family, singing family. They toured with Buddy Holly. Phil was a pallbearer at Buddy Holly's funeral. They enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps in 1961. And most of their songs I was a teenager and a young person when they were popular, and I liked them a lot at that age. But later in life, I ran across a song called Lord of the Manor, which I may play on the show, one of the future shows. I've played it before, which is utterly unlike anything else they've ever done and hauntingly eerie. But this was their most popular hit. They had 4 number one hits, and this was the biggest one. It was called Kathy's Clown. The previous song is about digging up bones, about a man whose marriage ended. Well, this is about a dating relationship gone sour, but still in process. Kathy's Clown from 1960 by the Everly Brothers. Now we're going to jump back to the earlier to 1953. This is the Ames Brothers singing You, 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 a number one hit. I remember it very well. The Ames Brothers were older than some of the groups we play, and their career was sort of waning by the 50s. Most of their success was on the radio. They barely got into the TV era. They were one of the first guests on the Ed Sullivan Show. They were popular with Arthur Godfrey, who had a radio show. Their first hit was called Ragmop in 1953. This song is You, You, You from 1953. I'm sorry, Ragmop was 1950. And they came from a classical and operatic music tradition. There were 4 brothers. They actually were brothers, the Ames Brothers. And they were from Malden, Massachusetts. And this song was one of the ones I remember, I can't say falling in love to, but certainly dancing with the girls I like to. And it was a very popular song, number one hit in its time.
I'm in love with you, you, you. I could be so true, true, true to someone like you, you, you. Do, do, do what you wanna do, do, do. Take me in your arms, please do. Let me cling to you, you, you. We were meant for each other, sure as heaven's above. We were meant for each other, to have, to hold, and to love. You, 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 there's no one like you, you, you. You could make my dreams come if you say you love me too.
Brothers from 1953. Now notice how different the style is of the next song. This is from 1978. This is Time Passages by Al Stewart. Al Stewart is a Scottish singer, a folk singer basically. I guess he is part of the folk community in the London scene. He knew Yoko Ono before the Beatles did. He once roomed with Paul Simon, and I guess he was quite the guy on the folk music scene in London for many years. This song is actually 6 minutes long, and I'm not going to play the whole 6 minutes. There is a 4-minute radio version, and I thought I had that, but I don't. Anyway, but I will play a good bit of it. You'll get the feeling. And again, I want to comment, notice how different the style of this music is from You, You, You. They're both, I don't know, anyway, I think they have something in common and thematically, but the musical style is just so radically different. That you're from different parts of life.
I felt the beat of my mind go drifting into disc of falling in the fading light. Time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight. Well, I'm not the kind to live in the past. The years run too short and the days too fast. The things you lean on are things that don't last. Well, it's just now and then my line gets cast into these time passages. There's something back there that you left behind. Oh, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home. Something to learn. It's just a game that you play. They're laughing at something and the music's loud. A girl comes towards you, you once used to know. You reach out your hand, but you're all alone in those time passages. I know you're in there, you're just out of sight. Oh, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home.
Well, that was Al Stewart singing Time Passages from 1978. Before the next song, I want to tell you a little bit about other shows on WEHC. If you'd like to see the full schedule, go to ehc.edu on your web. That's ehc.edu, www.ehc.edu. On the web, and look at the button for WEHC, and you can look up and see what the full schedule is. Up at the top is a button for schedule. And I'll just tell you a few shows. I'm on Monday nights. This is Wombats and Musics from 7 to 8, and the show repeats on Thursday, 3 to 4. Some other shows that are on right after me is Julian Ramirez playing Emery's Satellite. Now, of course, the summer's coming. We're moving into final exams. Today's the last day of class, so I'm not sure how many of these programs will be on in the future, but next fall they'll be back on. This week they may be on. Tomorrow night at 8 to 9, the Eclectic Hour with Jim Barker, followed by Aris Winger's two-hour The Flagship Show. And Aris will be leaving us soon, so this may be one of his last shows, and should be a trip. The next night, let's see. Wednesday night, Rise Up Singing with Steve Fisher is on from 9 to 10. Folk music, protest songs, Good stuff. Recommended. And I always love to recommend Let's Get It on Friday nights from 9 to 10 with Robert Weisfeld. Move to a different world, to a different planet, and go in with Robert and let him take you into the room of his dreams and his music and his stories. It's just an experience over which some people will never get. I'm one of them. Also, Thursday afternoons from, let me see, looks like 1:30 to 2 is Sybil Britton, Family Realities. I know Sybil. I listen to her shows sometimes. Great interviews, interesting stories of life. She interviewed Ed Damer a few weeks ago, and that was an interesting show. So, all those things are coming up on WEHC-FM 90.7, your college and community station from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. And now we're ready for the next song, Another Jump. I love to jump. This is John Hartford. John Hartford is probably the premier fiddlist, fiddler, of my generation, at least by my limited point of view. He was just a fantastic fiddler and a great musician all around. He played many instruments and had quite an interesting... He was born in, not too far from here, let's see, Madison, Tennessee. But he became a riverboat pilot on the Mississippi River. That was his hobby. He'd do it in the summer. He had a professional pilot's license, and he indeed worked the river. And that inspired a lot of his music. He played the fiddle. He often, if you saw him on TV, he danced while he fiddled sometimes. And you can actually hear him in the next song. I think those are his feet, that drumming sound. This is called Skipping in the Mississippi Dew, with John Hartford playing the fiddle and quite possibly jumping up and down. I think that's what he's doing. Here we go.
Well, I dream of a girl and a steering wheel, steamboat, a pilot house, stove, and an engine room brass, hanging on the post by the main deck stair with a long hair skipping in the Mississippi. Oh, the river run wide, run deep, run muddy. Oh, the river run long after I am gone, with a steamboat wheeling on a big wide bed, just skipping in the Mississippi. Up the river come away last Sunday, 12 feet of water on the Memphis gauge. It wouldn't be home without the muddy water rolling, the paddle wheel skipping in the Mississippi. Oh, the river run wide, run deep, run muddy. Oh, the river run long after I am gone, with a steamboat wheeling on a big wide bend, just skipping in the Mississippi. Spring, I ship on the river, 35 days on a valley line boat. I make a little money, get a swing time chicken, then take off a skipping in the Mississippi. Oh, the river run wide, run deep, run muddy. Oh, the river run long after I am gone, with a steamboat wheeling on a big wide bend, just skipping in the Mississippi. Deep run muddy, oh, the river run long after I am gone, with a steamboat weeding on a big wide band, just skipping in a Mississippi.
John Hartford, Skipping on the Mississippi Dew. How's that for a little difference? We're going to jump around now. I want to tell you about a little bit of my musical background, and because the next song gets into part of it that I haven't talked about much. Most of my early life, the 50s got to me good. I really enjoyed the 50s music. I lived through it and was part of it. I was in high school and college and really just drank it all in. And then I went on, and the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I was not as influenced, but of course there were songs I loved, and I play them for you. But along the line, I got into folk music. I was in the New York area and joined the New York City Pinewoods Folk Music Club and began to sing with them and play with them for the next 40 years. I still go to their weekends and weeks. I hope to go to a week this summer. And there's a raw edge to folk music. It's not always as sweet and charming as some of the pop songs. There are hard stories to be told, mean stories. And sometimes the singing and the musicianship, it has a ragged edge, a cutting edge. It's just not as clean and nice. There are some nice parts. And so the next song, which is, I want to add, the next song is by a group called The Silly Wizard. And I've noticed that a good choice of titles is to have a contrast, silly and wizard. I mean, wizards aren't silly. And earlier we had The Savage Garden. Well, gardens are supposed to be gentle, kind places. And I want to comment on my first wife, Bonnie, whom I rarely mention. And you therapists out there, help me, help me. I'm still angry about her ending our marriage when our children were 8 and 4, our sons. And even though my sons turned out fine and I have a good relationship with them, it just was tough, and I really haven't ever quite forgiven her. But she was an interesting woman, and one day she suggested a name for a song group, and it was Chocolate Switchblade. And I realize now it fits the genre. There's Silly Wizard and Savage Garden and Chocolate Switchblade. This is Silly Wizard. They're a Scottish group. They were formed in Edinburgh in 1972. They sang together for 19 years, and mostly on the folk scene. They weren't terribly popular, never made the pop scene much. This is called The Queen of Argyle, and it has what I think of as this folk music edge that not everyone goes for. It's just not as as well organized as we might like. But I like this song a lot, and the man obviously has quite a crush on the Queen of Argyle, but it's not going to do him much good because she's a little bit above his station in life. But he can dream. Here we go, The Queen of Argyle by The Silly Wizard.
Man, it is my duty to inform you of one beauty, though I'd ask of you a favour, no, to seek her for a while. Though I own she is a creature of character and feature, no words can paint the picture of the Queen of all Argyle. And if you could see the fair boys of you had just been there, the swan was in her movement and the morning in her smile. All the roses in the garden, they bow and ask her pardon, for not one could match the beauty of the Queen of all Argyle. On the evening that I mention, I passed with light intention through a part of our dear country known for beauty and for style. Been a place of noble thinkers, of scholars and great drinkers, but upon them all for splendor shone the Queen of all Argyle. And if you could have seen the bear, boys, if you had just been there, the swan was in her movement and the morning in her smile. All the roses in the garden, they bow and ask her pardon, for not one could match the beauty of the Queen of all Argyle. So, my lads, I needs must leave you. My intention's no to grieve you, nor indeed would I deceive you. Oh, I'll see you in a while. I must find some way to gain her, to court her and retain her. I fear my heart's in danger from the Queen of all Argyle. And if you could have seen the bear, boys, if you had just been there, the swan was in her movement and the morning in her smile. All the roses in the garden, they bow and ask her pardon, for not one could match the beauty of the Queen of all Argyle. And if you could have seen the bear, boys, if you had just been there, the swan was in her movement and the morning in her smile. All the roses in the garden, they bow and ask her pardon, for not one could match the beauty of the Queen of all Argyle.
Queen of Argyle by the Silly Wizard, by the group called the Silly Wizard. Now we're going to jump to country music. This is Johnny Cash coming up, singing 5 feet High and Rising. Johnny Cash grew up in Kingsland, Arkansas, worked in the cotton fields. His family did some singing, but not for money. And Johnny Cash was a rough kind of guy, was in prison for a while. He eventually married June Carter, and she apparently kept him in line from then on. Up until then, those of you who may have seen the movie about him about 2 years ago, he had a rough time starting out. He was a troublemaker. but he went through some hard times and growing up, and this song documents some of his experience. Sometimes the water would rise on the farm. And so this sort of exaggerates how bad, although I'm sure people have had this experience. It's called 5 Feet High and Rising.
How high is the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats, 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees, 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 5 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 5 feet high and rising. Well, the rails are washed out north of town. We gotta head for higher ground. We can't come back till the water goes down. 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
Johnny Cash, 5 feet high and rising. I got a couple of comments on that. One is, I like the part where he'll say, how high is the water, Mama? And she'll say, 4 feet high and rising. And then he says, how high is the water, Papa? And Papa says, she says it's 4 feet high and rising. You wonder who wears the pants or the water boots in that family. The second thing is, the students here at Emory and Henry are in the middle of final exams, or they will be when this show airs. They start tomorrow. And I have a little message to those of you, the students who are listening to this show during final exams, and that is, how high is the water? How bad is it? And I think that song captures the question, how bad is it? Okay, moving on. Now we're going to take another little jump. I've mentioned a number of times that my son, Matt Baia, has a radio show in Ellsworth, Maine, once a month, usually once a month. On Saturday morning from 6 to 10, he plays folk music. And I listen when I can, and I record the show when I can, and I borrow liberally from his choices. Some of my favorite songs turn up there, things I've never heard. This came up a few months ago. I'd never heard it, although I gather a lot of people have, because it's from the Monty Python's movie Meaning of Life. And so you Monty Python fans, I'm sure, know this song. It's called the Galaxy Song, and it's a story, it's a science song. It tells you about our galaxy and how many stars there are and things like that. And I looked it up on the web, and the science is reasonably accurate throughout. I mean, he rounds the numbers off. There's one place where he says the galaxy is about, I think, 16,000 light years thick. And later on, somebody, they corrected it to 6,000, and now they're back saying he got it right the first time, just by chance. So, anyway, it's a science song, but this is sung by Eric Idle, and the write-up said that it was sung by Eric after climbing out of a refrigerator, and that gives you an idea of what kind of a show the movie Monty Python's Meaning of Life is. So here's the Galaxy Song by Eric Idle from Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious or daft, and you feel that you haven't quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. On expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go, at the speed of light you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
The Galaxy Song. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere, because there's bugger little down here on Earth. How true that is sometimes. Well, we'll throw a little science in here to end our show. He mentions that the Milky Way has roughly 100 billion stars in it, of which the Sun is one. And we're a sort of middle-sized galaxy, not particularly large. I think a little larger than average for galaxies as we know them, but not particularly large. There are some that are much, much bigger than the Milky Way, and a lot that are smaller. But there are roughly 100 billion stars in the Milky Way, and the known universe that the scientists can figure out from what they can see from the telescopes, especially the Hubble telescopes, has about 100 billion galaxies. So try that out. 100 billion galaxies, most of them around, or the average, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 billion stars. So how many stars are there in the known universe? 100 billion times 100 billion. And many of those stars have planets orbiting them. Possibly most, we don't know. It's hard for us to see the planets since they don't glow like the stars. Although in the last 10 or 15 years, they've discovered, I think, well over 100 planets. They've even seen one. Usually they can sort of figure out where they are. Anyway, is there life out there? Odds are pretty high, I'd say. You've been listening to Wombats and Music on WEHC FM 90.7. This is your host, Harry Baya, and I hope you'll be joining me next week when we will once again celebrate most joyously our being here at all. Good night.